ReopenAmericaResourceCenter.com. Are you struggling personally or professionally because of the coronavirus shutdown? Ready to grow your business and serve more customers and clients? Finally, there's a trustworthy website with resources, relief options, grants, support, and much more for small businesses, nonprofits, and individuals. One location with all the information. It's time to get back to work, life, and reopen America. Visit ReopenAmericaResourceCenter.com today, the ultimate resource platform to help you in every way.
This is Everything Home, the transformational show about life, laughter, and the pursuit of happiness delivered by good people doing good business and good things. Let's take the word freedom. Wouldn't it be great to have more professional freedom, personal freedom, and how about financial freedom? Every week, Michelle Swinnick, the queen of quality content, interviews experts, entrepreneurs, professionals, and purpose-driven people to share their stories, their passions, and provide real-life, tangible takeaways. Get ready to be entertained, yet learn some incredible information. This is Everything Home, and this is Michelle Swinnick.
This is a special episode of Everything Home. Today's topic, masks are bad, but living emotionally naked is good, with Shamika Michelle. Shamika is an author, speaker, personal empowerment advocate, successful businesswoman, and political commentator for the Walkaway Campaign and Sky News Australia. She's a dedicated daughter, mother of three girls, and probably most well known for her transparent and very direct approach to tell it like it is and keep it naked. Before I bring her on, a shameless plug for our talk radio show, podcast, and patriotic purpose-driven resource platform. All of our episodes are listed on our website, everythinghometalkshow.com. Please check it out. Begin to use it as a resource to meet, learn from, and hire the experts, guests, professionals, and members of the Everything Home Socially Conscious Referral Network and Marketplace. They are truly good people doing good business and good things. People and companies you can trust to provide quality content, products, and exceptional service. You can also follow us on social media. All links are on our website. And don't forget to rate and review Everything Home so you can receive one entry to win a free giveaway in our monthly contest. This episode summary has the link, or visit everythinghometalkshow.com. And please subscribe to our podcast so you never miss any of our great guests or special segments. So first, my joke, and on with the show. What did the elephant say to the naked man? How do you breathe through something so small? Sorry, my drum roll was a little delayed. In this virtual age that we all live in, I'm usually working from home, but now the rest of the world is. They're encroaching on my internet speeds and my internet time. So things are bogged down because Right. Everybody wants to be me and stay home and work from home. All right, so let's get into today's topic. Masks are bad, but living emotionally naked is good, with Shamika Michelle. So how are you today, Miss Shamika?
I am doing pretty good. Every day is like the same, mostly. Today is like yesterday, and it'll be like tomorrow. But I'm hanging in there, so I'm glad to be talking to you today.
It's nice to probably get a little change of pace and talk to a new voice. Now, are your daughters there at home quarantined with you?
And they actually love it, which I'm fine with my kids being home. I think because they're older, I think if I had young kids that I had to actually help with schoolwork and, you know, I think I would have been crazy by now.
But, oh, yeah. Could you imagine? Just like, say if you have three kids and they were elementary school, middle school, and you had to relearn all the things that you totally blocked out from school that you hated in the first place. And God only knows how much more advanced certain things are. And you're going, I don't even know what this is. How do you want me to explain it to you? Go watch Netflix. Don't worry about the schoolwork.
I don't think I could do it. My heart goes out to the parents that are having to do that. I didn't even think about it until I was talking to a friend. And I said, how old are your kids again? And he was giving me their ages. And I said, wow, like, I'm sorry that you're having to deal with that. I know it sounds bad to tell someone you're sorry that they're you know, dealing with something with their children, but it's like the age, I couldn't do it.
Not bad at all. It's reality. You're talking about keep everything naked and be authentic. There's a difference between saying, oh, you know, it's I understand the big deal to going, oh my God, you must be losing your mind. You know, it's like we've all gotten to the point where everything becomes now, let's talk real. Could you imagine if, this is the one that got me too, could you imagine if you were married to someone you really didn't care for, but you're just, you know, you go through the motions. That's what probably half the people are doing. So you don't really like the guy. You've got three kids, they're home. You are now working from home. He has to work from home. The three kids are home from school. And of course, the mom has to do everything. And you don't even like him. Could you imagine being in a household like that? Now that's insane. Like that's the woman I feel real sorry for. You know?
Yes. In her. Like I've been her, but without shamdemic going on. So I've been in a house with three kids with a man I didn't really like. And I can't imagine not being able to have the access to church or other activities that cause us to be apart and get away from each other. Oh, my God. I'd have split my wrist already.
Oh, yeah.
I would have.
I think this is a perfect segue because you're a former ordained minister, and now you are a very outspoken personal empowerment advocate who wrote a book called Keep It Naked, A Naked Girl's Guide to Live Life Authentically. You're actually naked on the cover. And you're posing in a very classy and tasteful way, by the way. You look absolutely beautiful. So
thank you.
Talk about extremes. You ordained, now very outspoken, totally naked. And you just said that you lived that life that I just described, but no quarantine. So what is your story? There's got to be something, interesting. And not to mention, everyone can, a large portion can relate to.
I was completely miserable, but I was very involved in the church. Yes, I was an ordained minister. And there was just this unspoken rule that you had to always just be on, you know, because, and then you had things to do. I had to sing, I had to dance, I had to preach, I had to teach. I had to always be ready. And if at any moment I looked as if I didn't believe Jesus was going to make a way, then I would be looked at as someone that's causing somebody else to not have faith. And so there were times when I had to smile when my life was literally cracking my glass. You know, I could have been up all night because he didn't come home. And then I would have to pull it together and make it to church and put on a smiling face. And so that's kind of how, for one, I went through a very depressed state. Like I look at pictures of my kids during that time and I can barely remember what was happening at that time. I look at pictures and I'm like, oh, I don't remember this or I don't remember that. All I have is the pictures because I was so miserable that I think I just depressed a lot. I was there physically, but mentally I was off somewhere else. So once I decided I didn't want to live like that, that's how Naked Girls was born. I decided I couldn't lie anymore. I was tired of lying. I was tired of pretending like I was happy when I was sad. I was tired of pretending like everything was going great because we had a $300,000 home with two Mercedes and a Cadillac Escalade in the driveway. I was miserable and I was sick of living like that. And I heard a voice one day, as clear as day, that told me, if you stay, you will be the walking dead. And I decided I couldn't do that. My kids deserve someone who was actually present, not just in physical body, but, you know, mentally and emotionally. They deserved more. And so did I. So I woke up one morning and I decided I'm going to file for divorce. We had already separated, but we separated saying that we were going to try to work things out and get back together. But it was the same things going on. And so I woke up one morning and it was a Sunday morning and I said, tomorrow I'm filing for divorce.
And that's a huge step. I mean, because there's, as a woman, there's so many things attached to that. It's some, you know, depending on what the emotional attachment was, you know, especially but depending on what age you got married. And then there could be the status of you amongst your friends. Then you think that because the marriage was no longer going in the direction you needed to, or you always blame myself, it's my fault. And then you have the kids and then you feel bad. I mean, there's so many emotions that men go through. It's like the men's emotions are multiplied by a million because you know this. They're the first ones to get back on the wagon and start dating somebody with a week after something like that. And it seems to be no big deal. And then, you know, like 3 months later, they're married. You're like, well, what? Wait a second. Oh, that's right. You can't take care of yourself. You need someone like your mommy to take care of you. They carry so much of the burden and then also making those decisions, all those responsibilities, because they have to now, you have to do everything that you were doing before on your own, which you probably realize that you were doing everything anyway. It's just that you had a little bit of support. Maybe you was home to watch the kids for 5 minutes while you had to do everything else. But then again, you don't have as much income to take care of that. So now you're doing double duty on that side of things too, where that's an emotional strain. I mean, it's just, there's so much that goes into making that decision. So yes, you get to the point where I need to do this, but what was the strength that made you do it? And then how did you get to the point where, yes, I have to now change my whole world, because just look at it from a financial standpoint, we can't have all these things and I can't do all the things I was doing before. And now I have that extra layer of stress that weighs into your decision, but then it also, then it takes a toll afterwards, you know, like, how did you deal with that?
Definitely.
And then, yeah. Go through all of that. I mean, that's what most people, reasons probably why most women don't leave or make those decisions, because of those very reasons. But you have to, otherwise, like you said, you'd be the walking dead.
Right. So I had all of those thoughts. I had all of those fears of looking like a failure to my children, looking like a failure to my church members, my friends, my family. I had those fears. You know, I would stay up. I would cry. There were days that I would lay in the bed in the dark, not watching TV, not interacting with my kids, because I was just so depressed. I would just lay in the bed. And I didn't want to live anymore because I felt like I didn't have a way out. I was a stay-at-home mom, so I was totally dependent on him financially for everything. And I remember asking my oldest daughter, who at the time we had a 4-bedroom home with a theater. We had 3.5 baths. One of them, she had her own bathroom in her room. And I remember saying, you know, just talking to her and saying, like, I want out. And she probably was about, I don't know, in the 7th or 8th grade, maybe. And she said, but Mom, if we move, I won't have a room with the bathroom in it. And that just kind of broke my heart because, you know, they were used to a certain lifestyle. And I knew I couldn't, or I thought at the time, I couldn't maintain that without staying in the marriage. And so I went through all of those thoughts of feeling like, you know, I'm not going to be able to make it without him. But you talk about them being the first ones to start dating. He was already dating, which was the, you know, one of the big issues. So
he was going to start.
Already right.
Yeah, we already know where this is going. So why don't you just go ahead and move it along quicker, okay?
Right. Like, you know, he was already dating. And so I pretty much had come to terms with that. And I wasn't too devastated when I saw it outside of the marriage, or, you know, once we had divorced, because I had been dealing with it in the marriage. You know, like, I literally didn't even cry the day we got divorced, because I had cried so much that the day we actually divorced was a huge burden off of my shoulders. And so I think one of the things that just kind of, I kept hearing about him being with women even while we were separated, even while he was telling me and his children that we were working it out, and he was telling my family, we're going to get back together. He was still dating. And so I'm thinking, we've already separated. You're still doing the same things that caused us to, you know, at least one of the things that caused our marriage to break down in the first place. What am I doing? Why am I holding on to this? Why am I even trying? Because I didn't see a change in him. He never really came out to say, you know, there was no grandstand, no last chance, no, I love you, I'm going to do right, let's fix this. It was none of that. It was really, in my opinion, him just feeling like he was going to live life the way he wanted to. he had went from being a drug dealer when we first started dating at, I was 21, he was 22, to being a successful businessman. And he felt like he deserved everything he wanted, material things and women, you know, and me and my desires meant nothing to him at that time. So I decided enough was enough, and I wasn't going to keep waiting on Jesus to fix it. Jesus wasn't fixing it, and I was done. He shared a bank account, and I saw where he had taken somebody to an amusement park, and he had paid for like 3 tickets. But it was him, someone else, and my children. It wasn't them. Mm. And here he was with a woman and her child, and living life like it was golden. And I'm like, my children, they would love to go to an amusement park. And so I found that out. That was like the straw that broke the camel's back, which sounds crazy after everything I had dealt with before. I had dealt with women calling me. I had dealt with women telling me what kind of shoes were in my closet because he had taken a woman out of town and said, you know, I'm going to get my kid's mother a gift, as if we were not together, because she's just so good with the kids. And she was able to describe what it was that I had. You know, I had dealt with a lot, but the straw, I think, for me was, you're going to take another woman to an amusement park and her child and not take your own children? That was too much for me.
Yeah, isn't that interesting,
like, do what
though?
You want to me.
But, exactly.
Yeah, not my kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes that's what needs. I think sometimes, I guess, we're conditioned to take so much when it comes to relationships, especially since you got married so young. Then especially when that happens, you know, we just put up with so much. And then once you hit that one soft spot, which is usually the children or something we really care about, like let's just say you and your mom were extremely close and he did something along the same lines, but it was towards your mother. It would have been the same snap. That's it. I am done. It's almost like you go,
right.
How dare you? Oh, that is, oh, that's it. Oh, I am, you know,
right.
The hand slapped down. That it is done. It's like, you know, you've seen the movie Mommy Dearest, right? When she's in the boardroom
right.
with the guys from Coca-Cola. You know, that's the scene. You know, you get that slamming the hands down on the table. And she goes, don't F with me, fellas. So that's your moment where you just go,
right.
I am done. That's it. I am done. Yeah. When was your boardroom moment? That's exactly what happens. And so, you know, I'm proud of you mm-hmm. for doing it, but it takes a lot of courage. And a lot of women, like you said, it's especially when it's that financial situation, it's hard to take that jump. So what advice that point can you give other women who are in that same boat like you, to get them to make that decision? And what did you do immediately after? And where'd you go? Or what, because you said you were a stay-at-home mom. What did you do?
I was a stay-at-home mom. So I have a very close friend that she's been a friend of the family for years who works at the courthouse. And so she told me about an attorney and she said that they call her the ball crusher. And she said, this is who you need to get. So I went and I, you know, got a consultation with her and she told me what her fee was going to be. And I said, I'm a stay-at-home mom. Like, I don't have any money. I had access to the money because my name was on the account. But anytime I would take any amount of money out of the account, I was, you know, questioned
oh, yeah.
about it. So I was very fearful. And, you know, I told her, I can't live without his income. Like, I cannot take care of my kids. And she said, you won't have to. I promise you. And she said, you go and take this money out of the account. She said, half of what's in the account is yours anyway, which was true. And she said, you go do this and you bring me my retainer and I promise you, you'll be fine. And I got up the courage. I was terrified because, as I said, I could take $25 out and I would be questioned about it. You know, he would write me a check to go get my gas. You know, he had gotten good with the people at the gas station near where we lived. And he would say, my wife is going to come get gas. I'll come by and pay for it later. And so that was kind of like, I didn't have the freedom to just be spending money, you know, any kind of way. So I was terrified. And he called, I think, the same day or the next day, I can't really remember, livid about me taking the money out. And, you know, I told him it was to pay my attorney. And I was just determined I couldn't do it anymore. I didn't want to be the walking dead. I felt, you know, that I trusted her. She had been recommended. And she promised me that I was going to be okay financially. Now, emotionally, she couldn't help me with that. And it was a lot. He ended up taking the rest of the money out of the account. I literally had nothing until she started to come through with, I mean, she got right on it. I filed for divorce October 12th, November 26th, we were divorced. So she did the divorce first, and then we had to go through, you know, dividing the things and setting up the spousal support and things like that. So I would just say to a woman in my position, you deserve to be happy. And whatever that takes, like, happiness is your goal. Not living in misery is your goal. Set your sights on that and let nothing stop you from getting there. And once I set my sights on being happy, once I set my sights on not being miserable, not crying myself to sleep at night, I was determined to let nothing stop me from that. But you got to get to that space, you know, in yourself.
What was your first role when you decided to go for employment? Or did you say, you know what, I already know that I'm on a mission and I have a message and I know that I can turn that into something where I'm going to be able to, obviously, you know, we'd love to do things in this world for free, but we also have bills to pay for and we want to make things bigger so more people will know about them. So what did you do? Did you decide to go and get, quote unquote, a real job, or did you decide to just focus on?
I did.
Okay. That's, well, I want
got a real
to realize
job.
It's not just all hunky dory. It's like, I'm right. I'm fucking starting a movement and woohoo. Now all of a sudden I'm making, you know, 50 grand a month. I want people to realize it takes time to get to the point where you are able to do what you're doing now. It doesn't happen overnight.
I got a job prior to filing for divorce, but I wasn't making any money. I used to always volunteer at my kid's school. And so the school secretary, she got fired or quit or something. And they asked me to come up there because she also used to keep up with the finances of the school. Wasn't doing that great of a job, apparently. But so they asked me, you know, I would come up there, I would count money, I would make copies. And they said, do you have any experience in this? And prior to being a stay-at-home mom, I worked as an administrative assistant for a director at IBM. So I had administrative abilities. So I said, yeah, like that's what I did at IBM. So they literally, she said, I want you to apply for this job. So it was easy for me to kind of transition because I was right there still with my kids all day working in their school. I was able to see them, you know, I was able to eat. I still did the same things that I did as a stay-at-home mom because my youngest baby was in kindergarten when we separated and when I started working at the school. And yeah, so it's just the way the timing was perfect. And so I had enough to still kind of, you know, like put gas in the car and to eat and, you know, the basic things. I had enough money to do that.
Yeah, you weren't going out buying shoes and shopping and, you know, going and doing all the spa treatments, which is fine. I mean, this is real. We're talking real people and real situations. So you ended up doing this, getting back on your feet and kind of just, you know, trying to figure out how I'm going to balance all of this on my own. And then when did the real Shamika come out where all of a sudden now you are outspoken, you got your own set of balls on you, you become the ball crusher, and the naked movement starts where you're saying, hey, ladies, you know, pull your heads out of your rear ends. You can do this because your level of confidence and your level that you are helping people and from an empowerment side is, you know, this completely opposite than the day, even the day after you got divorced, or even a couple of years after, where did it all come from? When was that switch where you said, you know what, I got this. I am now keeping it naked and I'm going to tell the world on how to do that too.
It was a year after divorce. And what prompted me to want to do it was he picked up my kids to go out of town. And that was the first time I had ever been away from my kids for more than 2 days. And I was devastated. When he picked my kids up from the house, they were crying because they couldn't really understand. We're going on a vacation, or I think it was 3 or 4 days. Mommy can't go. So they were crying. I was trying to hold it together like, you're going to be fine. You're going to have so much fun, you know, and just be excited. And at that time, people were throwing divorce parties and acting like it was just this grand, great thing. And I came in the house after watching my kids fall apart. And then I fell apart just crying. And, you know, I said, this isn't fun. Like, divorce is not what I'm seeing people party about. Like, this is gut-wrenching. And I had to come to the understanding that when you go through divorce, there's going to be a parent who doesn't get to hear how that child's day was at school, you know, right when you pick them up. There's a parent who's not going to get to tuck that child in at night. There's a parent that's not going to see them when they wake up the first thing in the morning. And there's nothing fun and happy and celebratory about that. And it was that moment that it kind of dawned on me, family vacations together is over. Like, there's going to be times when I'm going to be without my children. The same way there's times when he's without his children. And I got on Facebook and I just wrote a post about it and I shared my heart. And it was really the first time that I kind of shared my brokenness with anybody that could read, you know. And from that, I got my friends on the phone and I said, I've shared how I really feel. Don't let them crucify me. You know, for being a naked girl. And because we called ourselves the girls in high school, a group of my friends. And so I said, don't let them keep me from being a naked girl. And they said, oh my gosh, because I had talked about wanting to do a blog. And they said, is that going to be the name of the blog? And I said, as a matter of fact, it is. But naked was how I felt. You know, I felt like I had just stood naked in front of the whole world by telling my true feelings, you know. That's how it was born. I've always loved to write. So I had been talking about wanting to do a blog, but I didn't know what direction it would go in. I didn't know the name of it. But once I wrote that little excerpt on Facebook, it was born because I was just so completely honest about the real side of divorce. People throwing the parties and having the cakes, you know, with the couple split in half. And that is a false image. Divorce is gut-wrenching. It's hard. It's devastating. It's like a death. That was the honesty that I had to share with everybody. And I felt responsible to share the truth with people. I was awarded a decent amount of alimony. Let me tell you that. I was fine financially, but I wanted people to know, but when it comes to the emotional side and having to share your kids or being without your children, that's tough. That is hard. And that's nothing to celebrate.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up about people celebrating and having parties over saying that they're getting divorced. A friend of mine wanted to go to Vegas a couple of years ago when she got divorced. And I was like, God, that's just kind of weird, you know? And then my other friend compared divorce, just like you did, to death. So when she heard the other one wanted to throw a divorce party, obviously there was a little bit of a conflict there. So we're not going to bring up what one said about the other, but it's the same thing. Most people, I think they realize it once they're in it or once it's finished, that yes, you've lost the family unit, but there's your personality. You change. Who you were prior to that now is different. And it's kind of like, I didn't sign up for it.
Right.
And in your case, you didn't really probably do anything to cause what had happened. So you're like, well, wait a second. I've done all the things I was supposed to do. And how did it end up being this way? So yes, it is a big step. And here's the thing that I talk to about a lot of people. And it's similar to the theory about when you're on the airplane and the oxygen mask comes down, and they always tell you, put on your own oxygen mask before you put on the other person,
right?
Because you can't help them unless you can help yourself. And in your situation,
definitely,
you were actually, and you know this, once you have a little bit of that financial security, not like I said, you're not going to spas every day, but at least you knew things were covered. The girls were taken care of in regards to the bills and the house payments, utilities, food, clothes. So you didn't have to worry about that. So it gave you a chance to focus on what you thought would be beneficial and helpful for others, which really was the emotional side, the healing side, where you can actually then be somebody that they would go to for information, or at least you, and especially the way that you explain things, people felt comfortable. So you were given that
right.
gift from God to say, you know what, I'm going to take care of you financially so you can go do this to help other people. And I think it's important for somebody like yourself and others, which I'm sure you know this because you, or you feel this way because you grew up and you were a ordained minister. I hope that other people that do have some sort of fortunate event or security in their lives realize that the reason why that was given to them, if they have a mission or a message or something similar to yours where they're supposed to be helping others, they realize that that's
right.
why they got that little one up so they can go do the big work, you know?
Right, exactly. So, and I knew I never wanted another woman to be going through what I went through and not having someone to identify with. Because being in the church, I wasn't the only woman wearing a mask. I wasn't the only woman having to pretend like everything was okay when it wasn't okay. Yet there wasn't a woman that was bold enough to really reach out to me, even when they got wind of, you know, the separation and the divorce. I didn't have anyone to talk to. I didn't have anyone that I could really be honest with and say, you know, I'm having a rough time, or I feel embarrassed, or I feel ashamed. There wasn't anybody I could talk to. And so I decided, I knew that's the woman I had to be for other women. You know, I didn't have the choice to hide it or be secretive about it. Like, I could literally feel God pushing me in the back saying, say this, tell this. Like, you got to be honest. You have to be transparent, because someone needs to hear that. Someone needs to know, if she's sitting there contemplating suicide, that you've been there and she can make it out because you did. And so it just became very important to me to share my life, good, bad, or indifferent. So I don't make apologies. You know, one day I may feel this way, then a month from now I may feel differently because I've evolved in my thinking or my emotions or whatever. I'm just honest, and I'm just who I am, because I think it's very important. And like you said, I believe that God allowed me to not have to deal with the financial aspect so that I could do real work and not be worried about how I'm going to eat. Because, you know, sometimes if you have the stress of having to pay bills and how you're going to eat, you'll start doing some things that are not beneficial to your life or anyone else's. And we get caught in the rat race of just doing the same thing every day, but not being of any real benefit to someone. And so I'm glad I didn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, you go into survival mode, or you just go into trying to the stress level, and then obviously trying to make things work, you get so overwhelmed that you're exhausted, that you're not good to anybody else, or you're not even good enough to have enough energy to interact with your kids at a level that's positive. And now you're angry and you're cranky. And, you know, obviously you can go down the route of doing some other bad things to sedate ourselves, but it takes a lot to do what you did. And it takes a lot to then decide, hey, listen, I'm going to go ahead and literally run around, take my clothes off, be transparent, and tell everybody about what happened to me, and be there as a support system and a leader that people can rely on or relate to, like you said. So the book, Keep It Naked, A Naked Girl's Guide to Live Life Authentically. I like that you described it as an aggressive self-help book. And I've not seen anyone mention aggressive and self-help in the same sentence before, but I think it's very appropriate because it's like, no nonsense, you know, let's get to the meat of what's going on and let's talk about it. Because the only way, you know, like the Band-Aid, you got to rip the whole thing off. And the quicker you get it ripped off, the faster that you can heal and get to the problem. So let's talk about the book. Let's give a time frame. So when you posted on Facebook, what year was that? And when did you write the book? And then let's talk about the book.
The year I posted on Facebook was 2013, probably July, August. I started the blog in November of 2013. And I wrote the book or released the book in December 2016. So I started off initially just writing blogs. I was writing for my own blog, and then I was writing for a group of women out of Chicago. I would just share different things, you know, on the blog. And then I realized that I was missing a lot of people because there are a lot of people that just don't like to read. Mm-hmm. So I started doing little short videos on Facebook, and my platform kind of took off from there, just really, you know, I have videos that have millions of views, and people would then begin to email me or ask me questions. And it was really hard to, you know, I want to be available to everybody, but it was hard to do that on an individual level once if I started to grow or my platform started to grow. So I decided, why don't I put these things in a book? Based on what I get asked about the most. And so that's how the book came to be.
And then the business portion, membership / empowerment group, it sounds like it's a natural segue because if you have people that are interested, you know there's a following, they need help. The book's not enough. You need to have a group, a gathering, something along those lines. Talk about that, intertwine the two.
The networking, the platform, the website, it's new because, like I said, I started out as just a blog, just trying to communicate with people through the book or on Facebook or YouTube or Instagram, wherever. It just became too much to try to do by myself. And I, like I said, I want to be accessible to everybody because I do feel like I have a story and I have a heart to want to see people be empowered and do better because I feel like a lot of people go through life really confined because of the opinion of people. And people say all the time, I don't care what people think about me, but that I have found is a lie. And I have found that it's really hard for people to be transparent because either it's where you work, you can't really be who you are. Because of who you're affiliated with, you can't really be who you are. And it just, it gets tough. Someone told me when I first started Naked Girls, they said, you know, I want you to know it's going to be really difficult for people to be naked and be exposed. And I thought they were crazy and just like, why? It's being honest. It's easy. But they were absolutely right from the very beginning. Even the women that were writing on the blog were with me when I first started, had a hard time being emotionally open and honest. The networking platform, I felt it would be easier if it was kind of closed off, you know, because on Facebook, people can still see what you have to say. But you feel if someone's actually paying to be a part of this network, they're invested in becoming better people just like you are. And so you feel a little safer to talk a little more open and I'm more accessible there because mine. and I'm going to be there for you. And I just feel like if you paid money to be a part of that, when you send me a message, I should respond. And I'm going to respond. And I just want it to be available to people. while well, and you all bring not, up a good not point. Going yeah. broke at the same time.
Yeah, yeah exactly. Right. I'm not going back there. That's for sure. Hell no. Right. I'll tell you that. Hell no. So, and you bring up a good point because people will be more transparent and naked as long as they know it's not out there in the public domain. Like there's certain things that I have no problem right. talking about on the air, but then there's certain things that I don't want to share on the air, but I have no problem talking to a larger group of people, friends, maybe a group similar to what you're talking about, the naked girls. But not everybody and their mother that can just Google or look on my Facebook post. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily information that they need to know because everybody doesn't need to know everything. But yes, if there was a smaller right. group, I'd have no problem sharing that. But I don't want some crazy person to read it in a post and all of a sudden next thing you know, I get a knock at my door and I got a new stalker. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, dude,
exactly.
We get enough solicitations from random messages and things like that that you're like, whoa, delete. Yeah. I don't need to encourage insanity or just, you know, to give any more personal information, but definitely in a group where there's like-minded people, why not? I think that gives them I don't want to say the word safe space because I hate that, but it gives them a place that they're more comfortable to share because they're around like-minded people that have the same, similar agendas.
Right. Exactly. You know? And so that's what I wanted to create for people. But yeah, and I just feel like they feel safer knowing that, okay, we're all here for the same reason and not just being nosy. I mean, and if somebody is being nosy and they, you know, I haven't had any issues because like I said, it's new. It's just starting. We're just starting to grow. This is kind of what I'm doing now. Like the book, the blog, all of those things to me were like stepping stones to now I'm here. Now I'm trying to build a community of women that want to live like open, honest, and emotionally exposed and want to live like authentically, that are tired of wearing masks. And so that's what I'm doing now.
So where did the whole political side come from? You being a conservative Black woman, I mean, how many are there in the world? It's like conservative women in general. There's not a lot of us. And then now a conservative Black woman, where did that side come from? You've not mentioned anything about political affiliations or even terminology throughout this whole interview. So it sounds like it's something that maybe there was a recent occurrence that you decided, which might have been appropriate for the whole Walk Away campaign. You want to talk about that?
The political side just kind of happened randomly. What happened was, like I said, I used to do videos and I would post them on Facebook and even YouTube. And I got kicked off of Facebook. And so friend said,
you weren't naked on Facebook. And you're like, hey, see, just get like this. And people, and then they're like,
right.
that's a different whole platform. But yes, you can make a lot of money doing that with the way you look. So,
yeah, I got kicked off and I didn't understand what was happening. Like, I had a video that said Father's Day is for men, and they took it down and suspended me. And I had been suspended for several things and had my videos removed, and I had no idea why. And so I was whining about it one day, like, you know, I miss being on Facebook. And my best friend said to me, oh, you only want to be on Facebook because you're nosy and you can keep up with people we grew up with.
Yeah.
And she said, start over, start putting your videos on Twitter. That was when the Kavanaugh hearings were going on. Mm-hmm. And I was watching the hearings and I'm like, this is craziness. And so I started putting videos up about what was going on with the hearings. And I started to notice that people that were engaging with me most considered themselves conservative. They were conservatives or Republicans. And I'm thinking, this is the way my brain has worked pretty much my entire life. But I've always been a Democrat because I mean, I wasn't registered as a Democrat. I'm registered. I'm unaffiliated. But I've always voted Democrat because I'm Black. And that's what my family does. And how dare I have any other view? You know, I remember when Ronald Reagan became president, I remember you know, my family saying, oh my God, the Antichrist is in office, because his name was 666. And so like that was kind of ingrained in me early on. Like, I can't have anything in common with these people. And I had started to like Donald Trump. I started to like him during the process, during the debate and before he was elected, but I didn't vote for him because I felt like something has to be wrong with me that I like this man with what everybody else is saying about him. Something's wrong. So I stood in the voting booth and I said, I know I'm not voting for Hillary. There's absolutely no way, but it's something wrong with me that I want to vote for Donald Trump. And I didn't have, so I'm always naked. I wasn't naked at that point. I was confused. And so I voted for Jill Stein.
Oh,
and
oh, honey, well, at least you're in the club now, but that's okay. Keep going. Keep going. It took you a little bit,
right.
But you're here. It's
so,
okay.
You know, once he won, you know, I began to see everybody just fall apart and be so upset. And, you know, within, I was fine because I liked him and I didn't know a lot about his political stance. I just knew I liked him and I just knew I was kind of drawn to him. And so fast forward then to 2018, once I got, you know, I didn't fall apart like everybody did. I still was doing my videos, still saying, you know, the same things that I always say. 2018, I get kicked off Facebook. And so I just start doing my videos on Twitter. And that's when I'm noticing it makes sense as to why I like this man, because how I think and how I feel and things that are important to me, that's his platform. Those are things that are, you know, that's important to him. And that's important to many conservatives and many Republicans. And I was like baffled, shocked, like me, a black girl. I'm conservative. I had no idea, you know, but it was like we shared the same values. And so that's why I told you, like, you know, when it comes to political lines within the black community, they still love me because they have no idea that their values are more conservative. They vote wrong, you
mm-hmm.
know, but
mm-hmm.
they are now asking themselves, why do I like her? How do I like somebody that likes Trump? And they can't figure it out because what you don't know is we think a lot alike. You know, we all want to be successful. We all can see the things that have ravaged the black community and destroyed the black family. We just don't all know that a lot of those things were at the hand of Democrats. And so that's where we're having a hard time kind of, you know, coming to terms with that. So, like I said, people just started flocking to me and I'm like, oh my gosh, I am conservative. And Brandon reached out to me very early on and was like, I love you. I love your story. And we've been like two peas in a pod ever since. I love Brandon. Like, he is like my brother from another mother.
Well, I'm glad that both of you have not only found each other, but the light bulb have come on and you're members of the club now. So it's nice to have you as part of the community and you're out there encouraging other people that the way that they actually feel is similar to yours because they love this country. They're patriotic. They love God. They believe in him and they actually probably go to church. And they want what's best for people. They like communities and there's positive movements and they're talking about, they believe in, like you said, being successful and they have personal responsibility and independence. Big government's bad. You know, you can do this.
All
you
right.
can do it on your own. I mean, I'm impressed with him. And I had told him when we did the show that I said, you know, the movement he's created is amazing. And it's something that's been needed for a long time, but you can always start something, but you know, when it takes a while or it's got to resonate, you know, people got to believe in it. And this has actually caught traction, which is the best part about it is that I'm impressed that people, and I'm very happy to see that people are really getting the message and then actually having action to it and making
right.
a change because it's only going to help themselves. It helps them be a better person, have a better life for their family, better life for their own community. So more power to all you guys for doing this and getting so much crap. I mean, as you and I were talking about before the show, I mean, just the things that people say on Twitter and post, oh my God, like, and especially you, you're a pretty black conservative woman. I could just imagine the crap that gets thrown at you when you just say something, not even controversial, just something that was a matter of fact because you agreed with somebody and it was something factual. It wasn't opinion.
Right.
It was just reiterating the fact. I mean, more power to you to actually put up with that crap. And that's what I wanted to ask you. How do you deal with the comments that come from social media or the backlash, or as Deneen Borelli calls it, blacklash that she gets, and, you know, the shame that people have for you because you actually think for yourself and you have an opinion and you don't conform to what people think that they're supposed to be. You know what I mean? The blinders on, the sheep. How do you deal with that? Or you just, at this point, you block it out and say, you know what, bring it on. The more the merrier. That means my message is resonating.
Well, I've dealt with so much in my life. I thank my fifth grade bully who choked me at the water fountain, you know, and I still had to go to school the next day. It wasn't an option to stay home or, you know, I had to face her every single day. I'm thankful for her. I'm thankful for the girls that slashed my tires in the 12th grade because one of them, her boyfriend, liked me and she felt if I can scare her off, then I don't have to worry about it. I'm grateful for that. I've had my house shot up with me and my oldest daughter inside. I've been robbed at gunpoint.
Oh, wow.
What these people say to me online does not compare to the things that I've actually lived through in person. So I always say there's no way someone named Akbar, who kisses his pet goat in Pakistan, can run me off when I've had to deal with what I've dealt with in life in person.
Oh, God, I didn't expect that. Well, you know what? That answers my question. I mean, you couldn't be more blunt and specific. Now I understand why that doesn't faze you. You're like, hey, honey, you with that little pink thing on the top of your head screaming, when somebody shoots up your house and slashes your tires, and then you just called me, a bad name. Nice try. Go ahead. Bring it. Where do you live? And they're like, wait, what?
I'm exactly.
At home. I'm in my basement. I'm already ran. You're like keyboard warrior. Where you live? I'm going to come over. I'm going to show you want to be scared. They'll never say anything
exactly.
Again. Yeah. Nice try, little lady with a pink hat.
Yeah.
Oh, good
so I tell them
good
all
you.
The time, I can't be bullied. You know, I don't think you can really online. You have no effect on me. I've seen too much.
Well, yeah, it's just you got a nice try. It's like the little gnat that's flying around and it's just kind of a pain in the ass where you just swap it and you're like, you know what?
Right.
I gave you a chance. I didn't kill you. Now the party's over. Boom. Sorry. Next. Okay. Let's go on. Let's go into the real conversation. We've got that person out of the way.
Yeah. And sometimes if I have time, I will try to make them even more mad. Like, I can figure out how can I make them even more upset. And I'll do that until they end up blocking me. So they started out trying to bully me and make me change my opinion. And I'll come back to them so much that they will end up just blocking me.
And then you just add them to your list. Like the notch on the bedpost. Yeah. Now you have your own little wall of Twitter haters. You're like, aha, I got another one.
Right. It's so crazy because I have a text message that I say I screenshot my baby girl who just turned 15. She messaged me, Mom, I finally made someone mad on Instagram. And I said, how? You know what happened? She said, because it was over illegal immigration. And I said, good job. And she said, thank you. We're lit for this.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad you're instilling good values into your daughters. So that's all that matters is that they're going to take on the legacy and make mommy's work worthwhile and start to encourage their friends, because we've got to penetrate the school systems now with the same type of momentum and ideologies. That's the next phase, is you got to go fix these kids before they get brainwashed. You know, work on the parents Definitely. And the moms now, but we got to go nip it in the bud before they even start thinking down the wrong path, so we don't create any more little pink hats running around, you know.
Oh,
we don't need any more gremlins with pink hats, you know, because you know, when you add water to them, they multiply, and you don't want to feed them after midnight.
Right. Yeah, I have one going into the 12th grade, and I'm like, okay, we got to figure out where you're going to college, because I wasn't as aware when my oldest daughter, who's 24, you know, when she was at the age where I could really bend her the way I really wanted her to go, I wasn't as aware. Now I am, about what's going on in school. So I'm like, we got to figure out where you're going to school, because I don't have time for you coming home for Thanksgiving or Christmas break with purple hair and just spewing a bunch of foolishness.
So, exactly. That you're paying for.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm not paying you to learn this crap. No, you can go get that on MSNBC. Why don't you watch that, and it'll be a hell of a lot cheaper for me. It's the same crap that you're going to listen to. I'd rather you actually have something constructive where you can go use it in the workforce and have an intelligent conversation with somebody and start thinking for yourself, you know?
Right. I've worked way too hard to let a college turn you around.
Yeah, and they're worse now than when the 24-year-old was in there. So it's good that you're seeing that. And I think a big shift that will happen, and they've been talking about this on certain shows with the colleges, because obviously that they are exorbitantly expensive, and that's all because they've got to pay for their own pensions. It has nothing to do with the cost of education, because they don't pay. They're nonprofit mm-hmm. organizations. They don't pay tax. So there's a lot of money running through that system, and a very low amount of that actually goes to the cost of teaching somebody. So now that the parents are home and they're watching what their kids are learning, they're going, I'm paying how much for you to go to school to do the same thing? You are out of your mind. And then the kids that haven't gotten to school yet are realizing what it really, the information they're getting and the cost and all that. So there's a different perspective now on college in general, and which colleges, and online versus in person, and the cost, the reward, the fact that what am I going to do when I get out? So, and I know that the universities they're all pooping in their pants, because they know that their numbers are going to go down tremendously. And that means they're not going to have the bodies to create the revenue, but they're also not going to have the bodies and the minds to indoctrinate in the crazy information. So yeah, it should be interesting to see what transpires, because they're all getting a little scared now that people are starting to wake up and realize, you don't need to spend that kind of money to have that kind of information.
Right.
So yeah, the world, we didn't even get into that. It really deep into the Corona part of things and how the world's changed and what's going on, primarily because I really wanted to focus on you and where you had come from, what you personally went through, to have the listeners get a different side of you. I mean, because having that real vulnerable side in a conversation like that, especially when you are so outspoken, it really just makes people go, God, I even love her even more. Now I know why I really love her. Because listen, you know, she's totally normal. But yet, as I said, you know, she's a ball crusher too. And that's what you can do both. You can be a badass. You can be a businesswoman. You can be conservative. You can be a ball crusher. And you can be an awesome mom. You can still have a vulnerable side. You could stand up for what you believe in, and you can still have a conversation that you tell the truth, be naked, and cry all at the same time. There's no reason why you can't have all of those different aspects of your personality. You know, I think that's what you're showing. You're showing women that you can do all that. That's okay. You don't have to just be uptight, or you just don't have to be, you know, somebody who's sad and cries all the time or totally emotional. You can do all of the above.
Right.
You're showing that. You are doing that. And you are naked.
And it's okay.
And it's okay. You are naked, and you are on Twitter, and you are showing the world that, yeah, do this. There's no reason. You don't have to fit in a little box because somebody told you to.
Exactly. Exactly. I was just thinking, I was looking at some of the books that I have, and I said, you know, I can't be put into a box. I just got a new book today. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Andre Leon Talley. I had the opportunity to meet him last year, and we've kept in touch. And so his book is going to be released on the 19th, but he sent me a copy in advance. And I was looking at that. I put down A Course in Miracles to start his book. And I'm just like, I can be all over the place with the things that I like to read and the things that I'm into. I like all types of music. And I refuse to let somebody put me in the box. So today I could be, you know, sad or compassionate. And then tomorrow I can be a real bitch. And I am perfectly okay with having all of these aspects of my personality. You know, I'm fine. And so I think everybody should have the freedom to do that. And I've always said, like, I'm not going to ever apologize for something that I said 5 years ago or 10. I felt like that then. If I feel differently today, you go with what I said today, because I'm not going to be one of these people that, you know, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Yes, I should. I should have said it. And I probably should have said it even more direct than I did. But that's how I felt at the time. That's who I am. Take all of me or leave me alone, period.
Yeah, it's okay to make mistakes, and it's okay to change. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you're not out there hurting somebody else. Sometimes things will happen where somebody might take something the wrong way, but you're not doing it in a malicious way. You're not saying, you're not being vindictive. So as long as your agenda is not really to be angry or mean, you know, there's no reason why you can't have different aspects of the personality, like you said, and then you can make changes. So if you said something 5 years ago and that's the way you felt, but now it's different, I would expect you or people in general to grow up, to change, to have different opinions. Because if you're the same all the time for years to come, what are you really getting out of this life? Right. What are you learning something? I mean, are you having different feelings and emotions? Everything can't always be the same for a long period of time. That just doesn't make sense.
Right. I had a former pastor to say anything that doesn't grow is either dead or retarded. And that just has it stuck with me.
That's great.
So as long as, you know, I'm alive and, you know, I know that I'm sane enough to, I should be growing and I should mm-hmm. be evolving. And that's what we do, you know, as long as we have breath in our bodies. So that has always stuck with me.
Well, it's a brilliant quote. That is absolutely brilliant. And I'm going to use that. I'll change it a little bit depending on who I'm having the conversation with. But I think it's brilliant.
You know?
Yes, sometimes you get a whoa. But yeah, it's just like anything, like the jokes that I try to do in the beginning of the show. Sometimes, depending on what the topic of the show is, most of the jokes, even though they're just regular websites, they're very dirty. So I have to, the version of that joke that was the real version was extremely dirty that I had to clean it up a little bit. So we have, and people need to know that. Just make adjustments based on the audience, the people that you're having conversation with. As we said, we're not here to hurt anybody, but, you know, we still want to speak the truth. And of course, you always want to keep it naked, right, young lady?
Right. I'm going to look up the real version of it then, because now I'm curious. So I want to know what the real version was.
So there was actually a couple ones. I was like, ooh. All right. Well, you know, and then you could go down any direction you want with that one. So I want to plug your book. I want people to realize that, let me put it this way. On our marketplace, which is the Everything Home Socially Conscious Marketplace, we have a tab on there for authors. So we are adding you, as your book is going to be one of the featured books on there, one of the authors. And if anybody clicks on that link, we donate 2% of the total purchase price on your behalf to our Vets, Pets, and Kids financial movement, which what we're trying to do is just be able to have people realize that if they want to buy something, go to our marketplace first, because every brand, then these are well-known brands and products. If they click on that, then we've worked out a partnership with the actual company that they donate towards the fund. So then, you know, we're trying to raise money without people actually having to make a donation out of their own pocket when they're buying something that they already wanted to buy. So you're going to be one of our featured authors. Hopefully we can get more bodies naked and having them buy the book, get women empowered and help out some vets, pets, and kids at the same time. But as far as you, please plug your information, tell people what you want to offer them, talk about the group, anything that you want to give, and especially your Twitter handle. And we're going to put that on our website too, which is everythinghometalkshow.com. So that way people always know where they, for some reason, like, God, I can't find her. Where did she say this was? You could go to the information. You can always listen to this episode, and all of your contact information is always going to be on our website. So that way people can always find you. So you plug what you want to plug at this point, Shamika, because you are now a good friend of the show, and we're here to support you in any way that we can.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You can find all things Shamika Michelle at ShamikaMichelle.com. That's the easiest way to find me. And then the group is the NakedGirls.com. And that's just a networking group. And it's actually open to men and women, though I pretty much focus on the women because sometimes I feel like women are able to be a little more free when they don't have to worry about a man coming and trying to correct their train of thought when they're trying to figure life out. So mm-hmm. that's the NakedGirls.com. And that's just you said you don't like the word safe space, but it's a safe space for, you know, women to just be open, honest, emotionally exposed and evolve. That's what I wanted to do. I've talked to so many people over the years, and there's certain areas that we are just stuck in the way that we think, in the way that we carry ourselves because of how we think. And so it's just a place where we can just really bear it all and not have to worry about random people checking the way that we think and saying, oh, you're thinking wrong, you know, because if that's how you're thinking, your thoughts and emotions are valid to you. And we create that space for that to be okay. If you go to those two websites, you can find me on any other platform, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter. I'm on all of those. And you can also have a link to my book. But it'd be great if they get it from yours because then the donation is made. So that's how to find me. And that's what I want to say. Let's get naked. Let's stop living lies and let's stop wearing masks. They're really ugly. And I think that, you know, what you look like up under that is much, much better.
I think that is a perfect way to end the show, my friend. You summed it up perfectly. It's all about getting naked, take those masks off. People are trying to put masks on now, like physical masks. Let's take the masks off and become part of the movement with you. So I want to invite you to come back on the show whenever you want. We'll do a follow-up once things get settled in the world, because I know you're going to be doing some live events in the fall, and I want to be able to promote those once we're able to. That would just be amazing, because you're going to have so many stories to share once you get back out on the road interacting with women and other people who are starting to wake up in all aspects, from the emotional side to the political side. So I am just excited to hear all of the stories and the accomplishments that you're going to have here just within the next couple months. So I'm excited for you.
Yeah. Once this shamdemic is over, we'll be
here,
you know.
Oh, yeah. I'm tired of it too. I didn't even want to get into it too much. You and I will do another show on it, because I did watch the hearings today, part of it. And I couldn't listen to it. I said, I had to turn it off because this is coming from people who have lots and lots of money that get paychecks and they're telling people to stay home. And when you look at the numbers, you go, you gotta be kidding me. Well, then you know what? I think all of us should mail our bills to all the people that were on the TV today on the hearings, and they can pay for them. So if you want me to stay home, that's fine. Here's the long laundry list, all the bills. And I'm talking everybody. I'm talking small business, anybody. And like I said, you and I could do our whole own show on this. But then, you know, here, you pay for it. And I'm not saying government. I'm talking that person who's got some brilliant idea that doesn't make any sense. I want the money coming from your little trust fund that you get. Yeah. And by the way, you get no paycheck.
And I just want to say this because it has annoyed me. Just, oh my goodness. I am so sick of the celebrities and the commercials on TV that are just like, we're in this together. Just stay home. If I can stay home, you can stay. Well, you have a swimming pool at your house, a basketball court, a bowling alley. Like, I think it's a little different, you know, when I'm bumping into someone every time I get up. It's just, it's different. Please stop it.
Big difference. Yeah, you're in a 10,000 square foot home on, you know, 4 or 5 acres. You've got $50 million in the bank. Your next movie you've already signed is $10 million, and you're telling me to stay home and take up a second language. What?
Right. Exactly.
Are you effing kidding me?
Right.
You've got to be nuts. Yeah, I'm looking at my front yard going, I can't wait for the letter from the homeowners association because of how bad that looks, because that's not a priority right now. So, okay. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and take off.
All right.
Let me stone today. Not a problem.
Yes. I could reach my hands through the TV and choke them until their tongue popped out their throats. I would do that. Like, it's disgusting.
We definitely don't need another song or a little video.
So right.
Maybe
like
we what we'll do is we'll sneak in a little show where we just kind of bash them all and then see what kind of traction we get, because I think that'd be kind of fun. We have a lot to say on that matter. Maybe that's what we'll do. We'll do a little quick one, maybe 20, 30 minutes, and then we'll just bash the, we'll go through and start name them off on the list, and then just have a good little banter session and make fun of them in a fun way. So you'll make the comment. I mean, I think it'd be fun to do a little stir in the pot. And since you're the leader of stirring the pot, I will definitely take all the cues from you. So I say, let's do it and see what happens.
Yeah, let's do it.
Why not? They're all sitting at home. They can't film anything and they can't go on a stage. So they're bored. So why don't poke a little fun? Humor gets people through everything, doesn't it? And that's just, maybe we need a little more humor.
Exactly.
Oh, my friend.
Stop being so uptight, they can laugh.
Yeah. And we'll put our little pink hats on, which I don't even know where you go buy one of those. Maybe probably at this point I probably can get one at Goodwill. I'm sure they got some used ones at Goodwill. I'm certainly not paying for one.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
my goodness,
my
dear.
One other thing.
Yeah, please.
When you say aggressive self-help, I call it aggressive because there are 4-letter words in there. The description starts out, are you tired of going through life feeling like a miserable sack of shit? So I want people to know this is not your normal, woo, 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 it's going to be okay. It's not the normal self-help type of book. It's really like shaking you. It's not hugging you, patting you on the back. This is shaking you awake.
Yeah, it's not a kumbaya, y'all. Let's hold hands and hope that everything turns out okay. No, it's breaking it down, giving you real actions. And it's funny that you brought that up, because when you sent me an email back, and it was, I went on the website and I saw the picture and I'm like, wow, damn. And then I went, whoa, naked. And then I saw the comment and I'm like, love her. That's it, new friend. I said, I'm in. Sign me up. Where do I go? So I have a feeling that once people read that or see that, they're going to have the same reaction, because I literally laughed out loud and I said, I'm in. Where do I sign up? So your following needs to expand. And like you said, I'm gonna share the message. I'm sharing the week is my friend, and I appreciate you coming on the show. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to coming back soon. And I think we'll talk a little bit about doing a little funny skit to make fun of all these people who are higher than thou and mighty, and they're talking to us from their golden towers and white castles and all that.
Right.
That'd be a good show. So we'll do that. We'll do that.
Great. And
thank you so much for having me.
I really appreciate it. And thank you to everyone that took the time out of their day to listen.
Thank you again, Shamika, for a great show. And you're an amazing woman. Her book, Get It Naked, A Naked Girl's Guide to Live Life Authentically, can be purchased on our website. And 2% of the total purchase price is donated to our charitable movement to support vets, pets, and kids. So go to revivetheamericandream.com. That's revivetheamericandream.com. And go to the author's page, click the lovely picture of Miss Shamika, and purchase away.
And while you're there, check out the rest of the products that are available. We've partnered with well-known brands and websites. So 2 to 20% of your total purchase, as long as you click on our banners and links on the website, is donated to the charitable movement to support our vets, pets, and kids. The concept is all about community-powered philanthropy. You're buying something, doesn't cost you any extra, but as long as you click on our links through the website, a donation is made. Click, buy, make a difference. So thank you for supporting our movement, but more importantly, yourself, by purchasing Shamika's book, Keep It Naked. Time to take off that mask and live emotionally naked. And as my dad always told my mom, Rose, make it happen. And as my mom always told me, Michelle, never give up. So everybody, make it happen, Rose, and never give up.
You've been listening to Everything Home with Michelle Swinnick. Life, laughter, and the pursuit of happiness. To meet, learn from, and hire the experts and the guests, professionals, and members of the Everything Home Socially Conscious Referral Network and Marketplace, visit everythinghometalkshow.com/episodes. And to listen, subscribe, rate, review, like, follow, comment, and share, go to www.everythinghometalkshow.com and find us on all the major listening platforms. Thanks for listening. We hope you were entertained, and we hope that you picked up some real-life, tangible takeaways from some good people doing good business and good things. Till next time, this is Everything Home, signing off.
PromosForAPurpose.com. Did you know 63% of consumers prefer to buy from purpose-driven brands and businesses that reflect their own values, beliefs, and support charitable causes? Promos for a Purpose provides business owners with ways to support worthy causes and promote their brands at the same time with its comprehensive done-for-you marketing and media program. Visit www.promosforapurpose.com for more information. Promos for